Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Globus Spirits Limited Q3 FY23 earnings conference call. We have with us today Mr. Shekhar Swarup, Joint Managing Director, Mr. Paramjit Gill, CEO, Consumer Division, Mr. Bhaskar Roy, COO, and Mr. Nilanjan Sarkar, CFO. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shekhar Swarup. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our earnings call. Sorry about the delayed start today. There were some technical difficulties at our end. At the outset of this call, I'd like to address the recent announcement by the company about the income tax search. This was a routine search that was conducted, and during the search, no unaccounted assets were seized. There was no meaningful impact on business operations during the search, and since the completion of the search, we have not received any assessment or notice from the department. We will, of course, inform SEBI regarding any updates on this from time to time. At Globus, in the last few years, we've focused on creating steady growth through a well-entrenched distillation business, as well as laying a foundation for growth in our consumer business. Both these sides of our business continue to make strides in the quarter gone by. In Jharkhand, we announced the commissioning of our greenfield 140 KL grain, ENA, and ethanol plant. Happy to inform you that in the quarter gone by, this facility has produced to 90% of capacity utilization, with efficiencies improving every month. The installed capacity of the company is now 765 KL per day, of which 335 KL is dedicated to ENA, and the balance is fungible between ENA and ethanol. Our second expansion in West Bengal and our first expansion in Jharkhand is underway. There have been some delays due to global supply chain disruptions. However, the delays are now behind us. We expect both expansion projects to be completed in early Q1 24, adding 60 KL per day at each location. We also now look forward to starting construction at Odisha as soon as all regulatory approvals are in place. Energy costs have been a hot topic, and I'm happy to inform you that various initiatives that were taken up by our engineering and operations team have resulted in reducing energy consumption by 5% in West Bengal starting in the month of December, with the potential of going up to 20% savings. Savings in energy consumption, that is. Over the course of next year, we will be implementing these learnings from our West Bengal plant to all our locations, and this will enable us to reduce fuel consumption by 20% at locations in East India and 10 to 15% in our other locations. On margins, as illustrated in the investor presentation, which I hope you've seen by now, excluding IMFL investments and an exceptional underperformance at Samhalka, Q3 EBITDA margins were in the range of 14%. ENA price revisions over the year have been helpful, with prices up 20% year-on-year and about 13% year-to-date. This quarter saw a marginal softening in fuel costs. However, grain costs remained steady. From January, we are beginning to see Coal India making large quantities of coal available to industry, and this has helped reduce costs of fuel further. As long as this continues, coal costs shall remain subdued. As many of you would be aware, though we use multiple fuels, including coal, rice husk, and other agricultural waste, coal prices drive the entire market for fuel. In Q4, however, grain prices have started seeing an upward movement. Going forward, I expect margins to remain in the range of 13 to 15%, excluding IMFL. As we go into the next financial year, price increases, especially in our value and value plus categories, will start getting realized, and that will help our margins further. We've been very excited about the prospects that our prestige and above brands hold. And in the last few quarters, Param and I have spoken to you about all the work that has been happening towards creating competencies and reasons to win in the marketplace. I'm very happy to inform you that this quarter, prestige and above brands have brought in 7% of our consumer revenue. This is a small but an important step as we start to gather some steam towards getting to our first major milestone of 20% consumer segment revenue share. I request Param now to talk a little more about this.
Thanks, Shekhar. Good afternoon, everyone, and I hope you all are well. In the overall consumer segment, the aggregate sales in Q2 FY23 came in at 4.05 million cases, up 7% year-on-year. I'm sorry, that was Q3. It is noteworthy to mention that in the quarter gone by, the average realization of the consumer segment further improved from rupees 510 per case in Q2 of FY23 to 527 rupees per case in the quarter gone by, that is Q3. This was on account of better mix across states and continued lower trade spends in Haryana, in line with maintaining our focus on better brand profitability. Going forward, with our product mix improving towards value plus and premium segments, we believe realizations will continue to remain robust. Let me start on the value and value plus segments. Our overall revenue in this segment grew 22%, which is happening. In Rajasthan, RML, the value plus segment, continued to demonstrate our brand strength at the marketplace. This was supported by our Black Lace Rum, which in its second year of launch delivered double-digit market share in its segment in the quarter gone by. Global Green, our whiskey, which is also in its second year, is slowly gaining consumer acceptance and is helping us get stronger in the whiskey portfolio as well, which is led by our Country Club, which is our flagship whiskey. We also launched the Kera flavor in the value segment last quarter, and we'll continue our work in increasing our product offerings to the ever-evolving consumer. In Haryana, our strategy to creating a sustainable business model is playing out. We have maintained our increased contribution of rupees 26 per case, and we'll continue to build brand strength. Persistent efforts on Metro Liquor, which is in the value plus segment, are bearing fruit, as we are seeing a momentum build in this segment, and both our brands in this segment are inching up. In West Bengal, there was again a route to market change in the value and value plus segments at the end of last quarter, which led to some disruption in our service by the industry. The good news is that the new RTM is more favorable to brand building and will help us in times ahead. In this change, a new category in the value plus segment has been introduced. This clearly demonstrates that across states, the opportunity of this segment is now being recognized, which will augur well for us as we go forward. Coming to the premium segment, we are happy to report that this segment is showing very promising prospects. Our revenue in Q3 clocked almost rupees 15 crores against 2.3 crores and same time last year and 4.4 crores in Q2 of this year. Haryana, where we had launched sometime at the beginning of Q3, has also shown encouraging reception to all our three brands, with Terai being launched in the current quarter. In Telangana, however, we could not get approval for one of our key brands to operate, and hence are revisiting our strategy for the state and keep you updated. In West Bengal, we have expanded our portfolio now to take advantage of the self-owned local manufacturing facility and are hopeful of hosting meaningful growth in the coming quarters. We are in the process of launching Mountain Oak Whiskey as we talk to you. UP as well as Delhi markets also have settled well as we inch closer to the end of our first full year. This gives us confidence to expand our offering portfolio, and we will be launching three new products in this calendar year across selected markets, two of them in the first quarter of FY24. Focused work is being undertaken to strengthen our key accounts ability as we continue to drive our premiumization journey. We expect to close FY23 with close to about 2.25 lakh cases under our belt, thereby setting ourselves up for a great future. I will now hand over to our CFO, Nilanjan, to take this forward.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon, everybody. Since all the results and the investor presentation have been published in advance, I will not take much time and will open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. An operator will take your name and announce your turn in the question queue. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Prithvi Raj from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
I just have a couple of questions. So the first, can you give the capex for Q4 and next year, and how much it will be funded through internal accruals and then borrowings?
Nilanjan, could you please take that?
So you are asking the questions for the Q4 of next year?
No, Q4 of this year and then FY24 full year. What is the capex plan and how it will be funded?
Nilanjan speaks for next year. It is based on our approvals coming through for Odisha. So currently we are working on that. So Nilanjan won't be able to give you that figure. As soon as approvals are in place, then the capex plan will get formed up. But for Q4, Nilanjan, please do give the figure.
For Q4, the entire capex, what we have pending is for the 60 KLPD that is pending to be done, and it will be entirely from our internal accruals.
And what's the figure?
We have spent almost on 60 KLPD, we have spent almost 35 to 40 crores. Another 50
another to 20. About 20-ish left.
Yes, another 20-ish left.
And Shekhar, you know, if you assume you get approvals for Odisha and UP greenfield projects over the next couple of quarters, how much can be the capex and how are you planning it to fund?
So, you know, the capacity of these projects has not yet been firmed up. It's based on the approvals that will come. Based on approvals, we will then decide how to correctly engineer. But, you know, let's assume that each of them are a 200 KL project. If it is 200 KL, it will cost us about 150 crores for each. There may be some debt financing, maybe about 20% or 25% could be financed by debt, and the rest would be internal accruals. But, you know, as I mentioned, it's all based on when the approval comes. You know, this debt amount is also assuming both projects start on the same day. So, you know, there's a lot of if and buts. That's why I said, you know, I can't give you clarity. But each project is roughly 150 crores if it's a 200 KL plant. If we take up one project in this year, then there shouldn't be any need for debt. If we take up two projects, then maybe about 20% debt.
That's clear. That's quite helpful. My second question is on the IMFL business. Obviously, the way the revenue has increased this year has been quite good. But, you know, at what revenue run rate can we reach EBITDA break-even in this particular business?
Yeah. So, I'll let Param give more details on that, but roughly we are, according to our plans, every state takes 2 years to break even from the date we launch in that state. And different states have been opening up at different time periods. All states we haven't gone into together. But as a rule of thumb, approximately 2 years to break even in every state. Of course, there are some states that we've had problems, like Telangana, Param was talking about. So aside from any of those problems, we are seeing that states are taking 2 years. Param, do you want to say anything more?
Yeah. The way we do it is, the first year when we introduce, obviously it takes us quite a long lead time to test the product out and get the brands into the market. So from the day the first liquid flows in, we can say end of third year. Regardless of that year, whether whichever part time of the year we launch it in, the third complete year, we expect almost all the states, barring an exception here and there, to turn around and start contributing to the kitty.
And my final question, Shekhar, again on margins. See, I mean, last few quarters, I guess you have been guiding that, you know, you can reach to 20% EBITDA margin. Okay, but now we are talking 12%-14%, that is also excluding IMFL. So, you know, what exactly has changed the narrative here? Is it because you expect this ENA inflation and fuel inflation to remain for many quarters going forward? Or is there any pricing pressure that you are facing from your customers?
No, I mean, ENA prices, we've been able to pass on our cost increases, as explained earlier. This sort of margin range I mentioned, it does not include price increases on the consumer business, which will start coming in April, as was expected. So if you remember in the last couple of calls, I've said that in each of our businesses, the time it takes to pass on costs differs. So ENA is the quickest, followed by ethanol, followed by our consumer business. So there's, you know, ENA has happened, ethanol has happened. However, ethanol price increases were not in line with what we were expecting. But whatever it was has happened. And now we're expecting consumer prices to start getting revised from April onwards. In fact, Rajasthan has already announced a price increase of, Nilanjan, please correct me, I think it's 25 rupees for value and about 40 rupees for value plus.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, all this will start getting implemented next year. So we are still working at new costs in the consumer business without any new prices. So, you know, that's going to increase margins. Ethanol price increase has been unsatisfactory, not in line with what we were expecting. So there's been some, you know, margin erosion there. But without consumer, 15% is something that I can see clearly right now.
Thanks, Shekhar. That's quite helpful.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Tarang Agrawal from Old Bridge Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and thanks for the opportunity. Three questions from my side. The first, if I see on a sequential basis, your consumer business as a proportion of your overall revenue has increased, which is also validated by your commentary, your realizations moving up from 510 to 526, and so on and so forth. But for whatever reasons, the gross margins are down by about 110 bps, right? Q on Q. And my understanding in the previous quarter was that you were seeing, you know, cost inflation coming off insofar as raw materials are concerned. So has that actually, if, and even your opening commentary spoke about, maybe, grain prices actually inching up in Q4. So if you could just give us some sense in terms of what's happening there. That's one. The second, on the power and fuel cost, if you could give us the number for Q3 FY23, and what was the number for the same period last year? And third, if you could just tell us what happened with Samalkha, which resulted in lower than expected yield. Thanks.
Sure. Niranjan, can you take this on?
Yeah. On the first question, can you repeat your first question, please?
Yes. So on a quarter-on-quarter basis, if I see your consumer business, the share of consumer business is higher than the previous quarter, which is Q2 FY23. Yet the gross margins have actually come off by about 110 basis points, right, from 41.1% to about 40%.
Yeah.
And my sense was that as we were going into Q3, the grain prices were actually softening, or at least that was the anticipation. If I just add the two, then theoretically, the gross margin should have increased. But that's not happened. So what am I missing here? If you could just.
See, we can do a deep dive on this, but the main things that have happened in Q3 are as follows. There's been an uptick in consumer, which you have noticed. There has been an addition of the Jharkhand capacity, and all of that has come in as ENA. The first, say, 30-45 days of Jharkhand, the efficiencies were pretty low. That has only started moving up, as I indicated in my opening remarks, towards the later part of the quarter. And now, of course, it is as per our targets. The next thing that impacts margins is the IMFL business. Of course, not so much as gross margins, but EBITDA, where there is an EBITDA loss. These are the three major themes that have played out last quarter. With regard to commodity prices, there has been a slight reduction in fuel cost, very nominal. We are seeing a much more greater reduction into January. Of course, let's see what happens in the rest of the quarter. But Q4, we're also seeing an uptick in grain prices. The reduction in grain prices that we were expecting in the season, in the harvest season, has not happened to the extent it was expected. But to the extent of our ethanol business, we are covered with FCI grain. However, this does impact our consumer business. ENA, of course, we're able to pass on grain costs pretty well now. But our consumer business is impacted because of high grain and fuel costs throughout the year. And as I mentioned to the person before you, price increases in consumer are going to start coming in April, which will offset the cost increases that have happened in the current financial year.
Okay. And what was the average grain cost if you were to tell me in Q2, and how has that trended in Q3, and how are you looking at it for Q4?
Niranjan, do you have that?
Yeah.
Q2 information?
Yeah. Q2 average grain cost was 19.63, and Q3, it was 19. The same range of 19.45-19.5. So there was hardly a marginal decrease in grain cost. I'm talking about grain from the open market, which is the damaged food grain.
In Q4, we're seeing this go to about 2,000-2,100 rupees per quintal.
Sure. Okay. And how much was the power and fuel cost in Q3 this year, and what was it for the corresponding period in the previous year?
Okay. Since power and fuel comprises mainly of three, I can mention of three: coal, multi-fuel, and rice husk. While write-offs were sitting at almost 5.5 rupees per kg in last year same period, it rose up to 8.9 in the current period, 9-month period. Coal, which was at 7, rose up to 10, and multi-fuel, which was at almost 1.9, rose up to 3.2.
But Q on Q, there is some reduction in that.
Yeah.
3-4% reduction in that. And then Q4, there has been some reduction.
Yes.
As I understand, it's about 74 crores in the previous quarter. So I'm just looking at the absolute number for this quarter.
Okay. Nilanjan, do you have the absolute number for power and fuel?
Yeah, the absolute number on the rate impact on a 9-month period compared to last year was a negative of 77 crores. 77 crores was the net variance, rate variance.
That's not the question. What is the total power and fuel spend in Q3?
105.37 crores.
Yeah, now the reason this goes up dramatically is because of Jharkhand factory.
Yes.
And what was it in the same period, same quarter last year?
So I've given you the number for last year. The current year number is 222.78 crores.
Got it. This for 9 months, right?
The 9 months, yeah. It's for 9 months.
Sure. And last on Samalkha.
So Samalkha, the plant and equipment is aging. We've seen some, lower recovery in Samalkha, lower alcohol yield in Samalkha due to aging equipment. These equipments are being replaced or repaired, and we expect all of that to be complete by the end of this quarter.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Imran from Longbow India Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, can you please share your power and fuel mix? How much, comes from rice husk and how much is coming from coal?
I don't have, I don't think any of our team members have that number ready. But roughly speaking, 60% is rice husk and multi-fuel, and 40% is coal.
Yes.
And what was this number roughly last year?
Similar number.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Jatin from RTL Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is, the price increase that you have received in Rajasthan, is that sufficient to cover the cost inflation that you've seen in FY23? And at least in Rajasthan, would consumer margins go back to normal going forward?
Yeah, I mean, if you look, if 26 rupees is about 8, on ENA terms, is about 8 rupees a litre, which is sufficient.
Okay. Second, you mentioned about the fact that the ethanol price increase is lower than expected, and it seems, at the levels at which you are operating today, the return rate ratios on the ethanol plants also will not be great. So why is it then that you still are looking to add more plants?
I never said that ethanol returns are not great. I said that ethanol rate increase was not great. That doesn't mean the return on our investment is not great.
So even with current ethanol prices and current kind of cost pressures that we see, we are still making reasonable returns on the ethanol side.
Yes.
Okay. And this quarter, there has been a sharp increase in other expenses and employee expenses. Is that all to do with the Jharkhand plant?
Yes.
Nilanjan, please.
Yes, it's all to do with the other expenses comprises of your power and fuel also. And it also comprises of bottling expenses. The higher we bottle, the expenses on bottling will go up. And also on your question on employee cost, we had the liberty of capitalizing costs till the Jharkhand plant was not capitalized, which was capitalized last quarter, end of last quarter. After that, we had to charge off expenses, which of employee costs. So that was another blip in the expense.
But going forward, we should assume this kind of run rate to continue.
Yes.
Okay. This margin guidance that you gave of 12% to 14%, that is only for 4Q, because in FY24, at least 1Q onwards, the Rajasthan price increase should come in. And
yeah, maybe in a couple Q4.
Okay. And FY24, any guidance you would like to give us?
Difficult to say right now, but you know, this should be the base for FY24. You know, we have to see how coal volumes continue through the year. Last year we saw Coal India reduce coal volumes dramatically and increase their own stocks. So, you know, I hope that doesn't happen. It doesn't make sense why Coal India should do that. I hope something like that doesn't happen. And if coal continues to be available for industry, then I don't see a problem improving on these margins as the year goes by.
Sure. And on the ethanol side, any chances of you getting any price revisions, or will this now happen only next year in December once the price for the next season comes in?
We are trying. You know, the coal prices is a public domain, that information. So the information is available with decision makers. But let's just, you know, to be a conservative, let's assume it will only come next year. But work is on to get some sort of interim prices.
Okay. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. To ask a question, ladies and gentlemen, please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah, namaskar, sir, and thank you for this opportunity. Sir, firstly, regarding this Jharkhand unit, sir, when will the unit start contributing the expenses which we have debited for the quarter, when it will commensurate with the revenue, sir? What's the way forward?
It is making profits today. There is no problem. It has made profits in Q3. It is also making profits today.
Okay. But since it was the higher expenses were highlighted on account of Jharkhand, so if you could explain the reason then for the spike. So
there was Jharkhand facility was not commissioned in Q2. In Q3, it was commissioned, and you saw impact of revenue and expenses in Q3.
Okay.
So it is the startup of a new factory, and therefore in the first quarter, revenue will jump as well as expenses will jump. And thereafter, it will stabilize.
So what should be the run rate going ahead? So for this quarter, we are not getting the entire benefit of the revenue. That is to be understood.
90% capacity utilization in Q3. This will go up by maybe 4%, 5% points. Average, we are able to utilize 95% of our capacity. So to that extent, revenue will increase. But, you know, most of it is there.
Okay. And the expense line item will remain the same. It is not that the running up is... No, the ramp-up cost is no different than what it is a regular course of business.
Yes.
Okay. Sir, you did spoke about this softening of the coal prices. I missed your earlier commentary. So, sir, going ahead, sir, how is Q4 currently shaping up in terms of the raw material basket? If you could give some more color. Sorry if it is up for repetition.
Yeah, this is a repetition. I'll quickly summarize in interest of taking the other questions. And then when the transcript is available, you can get more detail. But we have seen coal prices soften in Q4. However, grain prices have been upwards. It is my expectation that without IMFL losses, we will have an EBITDA margin of around 15% in Q4. Going forward, we will get an increase on consumer prices, especially in value plus, that will help us shore our margins further.
Right, sir. And if you take this packaging part, and also how do the glass prices affect our input cost. So if color on these line items.
If glass prices goes up, our input costs go up.
Yes, so glass prices are firm, sir, I think. So I wanted to have the impact whether there is a dent on the margins because of the higher glass prices, or how are we dealing
there
with
has that? Been, there has been, but for us, most of the impact has been on account of coal and grain prices.
Okay.
Coal slash fuel and grain prices. There has been some impact on glass as well. Our glass procurement is much lower by volume. Majority of our business is in PET bottles. The premium brands are in glass bottles.
Right. And coming to lastly to the expansion in the West Bengal facility, so taking into account the expansion that is supposed to kick up in Q1 of next financial year, what should be the geographical mix in percentage wise, which state will garner the highest in the ascending order?
Are you saying which state will have the highest capacity?
The highest capacity, yes, sir.
The highest capacity will be in West Bengal.
In West Bengal. And what would be then our market share there, sir, in the IMFL and in the product profile we are looking forward?
I mean, these are two different things. Size of the unit and market share and consumer are two different things altogether.
Right.
And these things are not, they're not directly proportional at all.
With the scale up of our capacity in West Bengal, with the nearest competitor, I just wanted to understand what would be our market share with the expanded capacity. That was my question.
Market share of what?
Of in the IMFL segment, sir.
Sir, our IMFL segment volumes, I mean, I cannot, our market share will be a few percent points at best. And size of capacity
just
and market share is not relevant.
Sir, the capacity increase is to service the ENA and ethanol opportunity and not to service the IMFL requirement, just in case if that clarity was short.
Okay, so our dependence on the external purchase of ENA will go down. That is the main...
We do not purchase ENA because we already have a capacity there. We already have a capacity. We already do not purchase.
If you don't mind, let us set up a call and I can explain this to you more in detail one-on-one.
Okay, sir. I'll join the queue.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Agastya Dave from CAO Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much, Shekhar, for your commentary. Shekhar, what exactly happened in Telangana? You said that one of your key brands was rejected. What exactly was an issue? Is it a permanent setback in the state? What were the parameters on which the brand was rejected?
Param, could you please?
Yeah, so the excise has not approved Governor Reserve the red colored whiskey, the red labeled whiskey. Their contention is that, you know, two brands having Governor's Reserve name, we do not want to approve at the same time. And while there are enough competition brands who play in the different price point and yet have similarity of some part of the name, there are many, but we have not been able to secure that approval. And in the absence of that approval, now we've been, obviously, other brands have got approved and we've done a soft launch, but since this brand has not got approved, we are re-evaluating our thought process of how to proceed. But be rest assured that this is not going to any way impact our overall strategy of IMFL, nor is it going to impact the overall top line and bottom line business plan objectives. These things can happen from time to time, and we haven't seen it yet because we've got approvals everywhere else like all other companies do.
Right.
But, there are instances where states behave in a unique way.
Right.
And as an organization, we are dependent, and
I understand.
We can only wait so far, and then we have to reevaluate ourselves. Yeah.
Right. Right. So next question is on this IMFL target that we have shared over the last few quarters, that we are targeting a 20% revenue share coming from our IMFL brands. So what kind of timelines do you foresee for achieving these targets? Because so far the scale up has been fairly decent, I would say almost impressive. How do you see things going from here? Because you also have a lot of capacities coming in the other segments.
Yeah, so just to clarify, that 20% is a segment revenue share.
I understand, sir. Yeah, I understand, sir. In the consumer segment, right?
Go ahead.
I think it's a little further down the line. Let me put it like that. That's what we set ourselves up for. And we have all routes available to us how to grow this category. In the short term, let me take the liberty of stating it upfront that our plan is to for sure more than double our volumes and revenues in the coming year. And as the pace picks up, our ambition is going to get bigger and bigger because we are introducing new brands. A little difficult to put a timeline and then be right. held accountable to the timeline at this stage.
Right.
But what we will do is, as we keep demonstrating quarter on quarter how we are progressing, we are very confident that the larger stakeholders will derive a lot of confidence and comfort to see that we are not only on a correct path, but we are well on it.
Right.
I think that should suffice.
Yeah, I just want to add something to what Param said. One of the reasons it's very difficult to give a date on this is also because the value and value plus segments are growing at a pretty good rate.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why it becomes difficult to give an exact date because, you know, if that number was a static number, it would be a lot easier.
A lot easier, yes.
If both are growing, it's something that we're working towards. You'd appreciate that despite a strong growth in the value and value plus segments in Q3,
yes.
We've landed at a 7%.
Yeah, that's impressive. Yes.
And if it hadn't been for that growth in value plus, we could have been north of 10%.
Right.
We've got to balance both of these things and see how we land in terms of share of segment revenue.
Right. Shekhar, I'm sorry to repeat this question about coal and the cost side. You've obviously gone into great details. But kindly help me understand this better. When I look at the international prices, when I look at the coal prices, our problems started on the margin side when the coal prices jumped up after the Ukraine attack, right? Russia-Ukraine war started. And the prices went through the roof and they stayed there for...
Let me preempt you there. Last 3-6 months, I've spent a lot of time modeling Indian coal prices with the international coal prices.
Right. And the link is not working out, at least for me.
There is no link. The link was established when the war started.
Yeah. And it has not gone away.
It has not gone away. I am 100% seeing the same thing as you're seeing. It does not make sense to me, but that is how the Indian coal market is behaving, and I don't know why.
And when I try to figure it out at the international level, the reasons for the prices coming down by 50-odd% in coal over the last 30-odd days, the reason given is that the Indian imports have fallen. So that is just adding to the paradox here.
And the data that I'm seeing for Indian coal prices is not just our purchase data, but also wider auction results of various Coal India, auctions that take place in India. That link is broken. I don't know why, but the good news is that it can't remain broken forever.
Right. Shekhar, would you so if I look at our peak performance, right, the 20%+ margins, and when the going was really, really nice, what would be the number one villain for you, which has dragged down the margins the most? Is it just the lag effect of ability to pass the consumer prices much more slowly than what you would like to?
No,
or is it the coal prices?
Single reason is coal.
Yeah, okay. That is what I thought. And that is behaving very artificially, right? That's it's not been driven by market forces as of now.
Yeah. No, yeah. Up till Ukraine war and before, there was a link.
Yeah.
After Ukraine war, there was a link. But after that, the link is gone.
Yeah. Great. One more thing, Shekhar. Some of your competitors have actually mentioned that. So I have also been tracking the grain prices, and I saw that the wheat prices, even though international prices were collapsing, the wheat prices were very, very steady in the domestic market. But now they have started coming off. And at least the data I have, and I'm pretty sure your data is much, much better than mine. But the data that I have also seen around a rupee fall, 1 rupee 50 paisa per kg fall in the broken rice prices also. So again, I immediately own up to the fact that my data quality could be bad, especially on the green side. But
there was a reduction, but and that was in early January.
Right.
But thereafter, the markets have gone the other way.
Okay. Thank you very much, Shekhar. And let's hope that the market links actually start working again. I think that's the big drag on the company as of now.
For the economy.
I know. Everything has come down. International prices of crude and coal both have come off. But Indian prices, I don't know why they are staying up like this. But thank you very much, Shekhar, and all the best. Good luck, sir.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone phones at this time. The next question is from the line of Tarang Agrawal from Old Bridge Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks again for the follow-up. Just a couple of more questions. One on the IMFL investments, right? Can you give us a sense on how your IMFL investments were for 9 months FY23 versus what they were for the same period last year?
Sure, Nilanjan, do you have that?
Yeah. See, our IMFL investment basically on the fixed cost was almost, for the 9 months, was almost 14 crores, which included a breakup of 4 crores in marketing, and rest is the personal cost. That's on the fixed cost. And rest is before contribution, we have trade spends and all those costs. So a complete breakup can be made available. But on the
what was this last year? What was this 14 crores last year?
14 crores last year was bare minimum. I don't have the number right now, but I can provide it. I don't have the number.
Yeah, my sense would have been under 5 crores.
Yeah,
it would be somewhere around 4-ish. Yeah.
Four-ish.
Okay. So bulk of your IMFL spends have actually come in Q3, right?
Yes.
Okay.
No, this is 9 months versus 9 months.
I know, but if I go through the presentation, it speaks about, that's the negative 8 crore EBITDA that you've laid out in the presentation. Got it. Yeah, the second question is, Samalka must have been an issue which must have been pervasive for quite some time, right? I mean, it's not something which may have glaringly shot up in Q3 alone.
Q2 and Q3, Q3 was much worse than Q2, but it was there in Q2 and in Q3.
Okay. And
your question is, what was the impact in Q2? We can pull that out and make it available to you. We don't have that ready.
Okay. And the last question, Shekhar, the coal pricing has been quite onerous in terms of, managing in this environment. At the same time, if you look at how our gross margins have trended, they've significantly lowered than what they were before, primarily because of how our rice costs have moved. Now, given the government's endeavor to, their thrust on having grain-based ethanol, right? How are your conversations happening there? I mean, because, I mean, at some point of time, this could be an industry pervasive issue, right? I mean,
Yeah. So at the industry level, this is being taken up with the Ministry of Petrol, as well as the oil marketing companies. They are sensitized to the issue. They understand that coal prices, the coal price impact has not been fully factored in while computing prices for this ethanol year. And frankly, work is on to see if an interim price revision can be made. But someone else asked earlier on this call, what should we expect? Work is on. Now, I cannot say expect a price increase. It's an incorrect, it's a speculative statement by me if I was to say that. And therefore, I must say that, listen, let's assume what we know. But work is on pricing of ethanol as well.
Got it. Thank you, guys. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jatin from Invest Savvy. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So I had, thanks for taking the question. I was looking at the projections on EBITDA, and you have EBITDA loss on IMFL. Now, with the
I think we lost that line.
Sorry, sir. The line for the current participant seems to have disconnected. We will move to the next participant in the queue. We have the next question from the line of Saurabh Dutta from Minerva Asset Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. I just wanted to know whether the West Bengal and the Jharkhand plants that came online in Q4 and Q2 respectively, they're operating at 90% capacity utilization as well, or they are slightly lower?
Overall, Samhalka, if I leave out Samhalka, capacity utilizations are generally around 95%. Jharkhand came in at 90% this quarter because of, the first time it was being started up.
Okay. And the new expansions, the three of them that are happening in West Bengal, Jharkhand, and Bihar, how do you see them ramping up? What sort of, in terms of capacity utilization?
I'm sorry, your line is not very clear.
Am I audible now?
You are audible. Could you repeat your question?
Yeah, I'm saying the West Bengal, Jharkhand, and Bihar projects, the expansions that are going on in these, how do you see the capacity utilization ramping up for these new expansions?
I see them running at full capacity utilization.
Okay, like as soon as they're commissioned, they should be running at almost full utilization. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Prem Thakur, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi everyone. Most of the questions are already answered, but before then, I have a few questions. Yes. Can we have how much was the utilization level overall, including the new capacities during this quarter?
Nilanjan?
I will. Can you repeat the
question? Capacity utilization, average capacity utilization all in there.
So average capacity, except for Samhalka, which was at almost at 79%, overall average capacity utilization, all the plants was more than 94%, except for Jharkhand, which was a startup at 90%.
Okay. And can you have anything in our mind about the growth in the average realization that we are expecting going forward, especially in the bulk alcohol, ethanol or ENA?
This is on ethanol, we are not expecting any increase. We've spoken a lot about that today. I won't go into that. On ENA, if there are cost changes, those get passed on, whether it is upwards or downwards. So, this year we've seen an increase in cost. Excuse me. So that's been passed on as the increase in ENA prices.
Okay. One more question I want to ask. At Bihar location, that we are adding a very little capacity, that is 19 KLPD, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to understand why this is a small capacity addition that we are taking, in this location. Is there any...
From an ROE point of view, it's very interesting.
Okay, so is there any scope at this location, a large expansion scope going forward, or we have a separate at this level?
Our expansion opportunities have been identified, and those are what we are working on. Besides this expansion in Bihar, we do not foresee any further expansion.
Okay, thank you from my side.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Agastya Dave from CAO Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for allowing the follow-up. Shekhar, just a small question. In Odisha, while you're awaiting the clearances, have you formed up any local partners that you would need for bottling or setting up a bottling plant or managing your distribution? Will you go that route or will you be doing everything in-house?
No, our business model so far is to do everything in-house. I don't foresee any change in that. If there is a compelling reason to appoint such partners, we'll examine it. But as of now, we don't see any reason.
So in all the states that you are active in the consumer segment, you control the distribution completely in-house. There are absolutely no partners.
Param?
Could you say that again, please?
Sir, are there any local partners in the consumer business that you partner with? For example, setting up a bottling plant or managing your distribution? Or is it completely in-house?
I understood the meaning of your implication of partners. So the places where we have our own mother units, all the distilleries are economically viable to service the other state, and I'll give you a specific example. Delhi as well as Uttar Pradesh, we feed from our Rajasthan unit, Behror. West Bengal, we are feeding from our current unit within West Bengal. Haryana, we are feeding from our current distillery at Haryana. However, in Telangana, we have a bottling tie-up. That is the definition of the partner. And that is we make choices based on which is the more efficient model, and we can ensure that quality is not compromised.
And specifically related to Odisha, you are not going to do it with a partner. Because you are going to have a very large distillery in the state, it makes sense to keep it in-house, right?
So as of now, we are not operating IMFL in Odisha. And when the time comes, we will at that point of time...
Right. And Shekhar, just a follow up on one of the comments that you just made, that the Ministry of Oil and the OMCs are well aware of what they have done, like shortchange you guys with respect to the coal prices, right? Because the pressure is also coming from a government agency, which is Coal India. So are the state governments also accepting that there is a need to increase the consumer prices more than what is actually the norm because of these pressures?
It's difficult to paint all the states in one brushstroke.
Okay.
I can't do that. But Rajasthan has given us a price increase. Let's see how that shapes up there.
And you are happy with the Rajasthan increase, right? There you are absolutely not complaining whatsoever of getting shortages. That's sufficient.
It's sufficient.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Shekhar. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Jatin from Invest Savvy. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Sorry, the line got disconnected earlier. So going back to the question I was asking, one, on IMFL, how do you see your EBITDA shaping up going forward? And two, on Samalkha, how long do you think... how much would be the impact in the coming quarter, and then by when does that get sorted? And therefore, what I'm coming to is, how do you see the projection on?
Yeah, your line is still a little bad, but I think I heard most of it. IM methanol, we addressed this earlier, 2 to 3 years from the time we launch in a state, we hope to be break even. Each state is launched at different time periods, so it's not possible for me to say on this date all will be break even. We've completed our first full year. However, there was Haryana that was launched during the course of this year. Samhalka will take all of this quarter to stabilize, and we expect that from Q1 onwards, we'll be firing on all cylinders again. What will be the impact in this quarter of Samhalka? I do not have that that calculation, but let's just hold on for some more time, and at the end of the quarter we'll give you that uptake.
So in terms of your assessment, how do you see the EBITDA margins? Let's say if you were to take a good guesstimate on the EBITDA margin going in the next quarter and the one after that, Q4 and then Q1.
I've already given that guidance in my opening remarks. 13 to 15% excluding IMFL is what we expect in this quarter. Next year onwards, we'll start getting in price increases of our consumer business. And we have to wait and watch how the cold situation continues to unfold in India.
So,
Sorry to interrupt, sir. The line for you has gone bad. You are not audible, sir.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. So my question is that in the current quarter, in your calculations, excluding the IMFL bit, it was around 14%. And now in the quarter going forward, IMFL being the highest growth segment which you are seeing, and if that has a larger negative EBITDA, obviously with growth, it's likely that the EBITDA goes lower. So are we saying that the EBITDA margins on an overall basis, not excluding IMFL, would possibly be dipping going forward from what it was at 10% this quarter?
I don't see that. In fact, IMFL is profitable. With more volume, you have less loss. You don't increase loss with more volume. You reduce.
That's actually what I had asked a little earlier, that are we seeing the losses, as a percentage go down? Because yes, it takes 2 years to stabilize. So
yes, yes. So with more volume, there is less loss.
Okay, so you don't expect the EBITDA losses to go further than 8 crores in the coming quarter on IMFL?
Param, can you comment on that? I'm not sure what our budget is for Q4.
I think the way you put it, yeah, I think your number is in the zone. We obviously can't nail the number down because we are in an evolving launch situation at any point of time, and we are busy launching Mountain Oak in West Bengal as we talk now, which is in preparation for next year. So there is a lot of overlapping between this year's strategy as it undergoes into next year's strategy. But yes, the numbers that you are indicating are in the range.
The other overall guidance I've given earlier on, not today, is that we expect to invest 20 to 25 crores a year this year in the IMFL business. We've invested 14 crores already. We left it 8-10 crores more. So, yeah, you're in the zone.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Agarwal from Tusk Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking the question. It's on the consumer business, on the next couple of quarters before we get into the next festive season. What's the outlook like for the overall consumer business?
In terms of what, the top line, bottom line, or the trends? What exactly are you looking for?
In volume terms and the trends thereof.
So as I have said, we are intending to. So volume, obviously in this quarter, because it's the yearly closing, Haryana will continue to build up. UP basis renewal policy will, we will not overdrive top line in UP. West Bengal will continue normal. Delhi depends whether the policy is extended or not. So there will be that slight push or holding at the last quarter of each year. But otherwise, we are expecting to more than double our top line and bottom line next year. I had said earlier on this call, without narrowing down the numbers, to sort of give you a sense of the aggression that we are intending to bring in. So that will translate obviously among the quarters, and it will keep getting aggressive as we keep moving further into the next year.
So Nikhil, you know, at this stage of the business, it's very difficult to say, you know, one quarter to another how performance is shaping up. But, you know, the trends are very clear in the business. And Param's target of doubling in the next financial year is something that I firmly stand behind as well.
Okay, just a follow-up on that. So when you say doubling, you're talking of the IMFL.
Yeah, so we are targeting to close about 2.25 lakh cases this year, so doubling on that.
Okay. And with regards to the IMIL, what should we expect for the coming year?
I think a lower growth rate going forward is something which is reasonable, you know, around 7 to 10% in value. And a little higher, you know, around 15% in value plus. I think these are reasonable numbers to expect.
That's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Kunj Pashya from SKP Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, sir, you are audible. Yes. Please go ahead.
Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for having me. I wanted to ask this question. Since Calcutta is a big market, West Bengal basically, so what is being done to actually capture the Bengal market so that we can be aggressive and the sales of either IMIL or IMFL can go up in West Bengal?
So there's a lot of work on that. Param, could you please?
Yeah, yeah. So let me take them one by one. In IMIL, obviously, in West Bengal, till the recent past, it was very expensive to, in terms of transportation cost, to service the brand requirement beyond a certain geography. The reason is the route to market made it less and less viable as you travel the distance. That policy has been amended, and as we are going forward, it is going to start playing out where, you know, even if we have one distillery, we can service in a much larger, efficient way to the larger market, which gives us an opportunity to start building the volume now. In terms of the value plus segment, there are green shoots. The value plus segment has started showing some good, strong early signs. And in the route to market change, obviously the industry was not serviced for 40, 45 days when the market was again being changed. And we are now expecting growth to start building up in the value plus segment as well. Coming to IMFL, we are sticking to our strategy, and as we keep
clearing internal benchmarks. Our product offerings will keep widening up, and maybe in the medium future, our geographical expansion in West Bengal also will keep expanding. So it is a matter of clearing our internal benchmarks. Does that clarify?
Yes, yes, that's good enough. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sai Narayanan, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I just want to ask the management, what is the return on investment we have only for the ethanol division? That is my first question. Or any margins we have only for the ethanol division?
Every state it varies. So I don't have a number to give you right now on that. We can compute something and get back to you.
Okay. Now, is it being the double digits, the margins or the ROI?
Yes, very much so.
Okay. Okay. What is the debt level currently and what is the expected EBITDA for this year, Shekhar?
Can you repeat the question, please?
Now, what is the current total debt we have and what is the current expected EBITDA we plan to complete this financial year?
We are not giving any guidance on total EBITDA expected this year. We've given the guidance on EBITDA margin. Nilanjan, what's our debt level, please?
Our debt in long term is almost 150 crore and short term borrowing is another 90 to 95 crore.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Navneet Bhaiya, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. Congrats for the good show on your IMFL and congrats for exultant commercialization as well. Shekhar, I had one question on your manufacturing setup. You mentioned your cost pass on and ENA happens much faster than ethanol. And most of your plants are, you know, they can do either ENA or ethanol. So just wanted to understand what stops us from shifting from ethanol to ENA if the price hike in ethanol is not good?
We are producing in each state the material which is the most profitable. ENA, so for example, in Jharkhand, we continue to make ENA. We have not yet started production of ethanol. Let's see how the rest of the year shapes up. We may change that production mix. So we are producing whatever is the most profitable at every stage.
Okay, so you mean even at current unsatisfactory price hikes that we have got for ethanol, it may still be more profitable than ENA in some states?
In some states. So, for example, Bihar, where there is no ENA market, it continues to be more profitable to make ethanol. Fortunately, in Bihar, rice husk prices are the lowest in the country. So, you know, every state has its own nuance. That is the work we do in the company to make sure that each state is running in the most profitable fashion possible.
I understand. Just in West Bengal, you would be doing ENA or ethanol right now?
There's a mix of both that's taking place in West Bengal. Roughly 50% capacity is ENA and the other half is ethanol.
Okay, perfect. I understand that. A couple of data points that I didn't see in the presentation. One was your market share across the three states, Rajasthan, Haryana and West Bengal. And second, I think you used to give the breakup between volumes of value and value plus till about 2 quarters back. You're just giving the total now. So is the breakup also available?
Yeah, sure. We can provide that subsequent to this call.
Okay. And the market shares as well, right? In West Bengal, is there any improvement in market share from the 2.5% that we were at?
Param?
No, not at this point of time. As I said, there was not much in the last quarter for the simple reason that route to market change was happening in IMIL. So as of now, no change. We are in the same zone. But a new category in value plus segment has been introduced, and we are very excited about this category.
Okay, it'd be great if you can include these data points in your presentation, which you used to provide earlier as well.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah, and one last question regarding your IMFL. So are these IMFL likely to be visible in some of the urban cities in the liquor shops? Or where exactly are they distributed? The Terrigen and the other brands that you have.
So these are available in premium shops in the state of West Bengal, in Delhi. As we are talking, Terai has other brands. Other three brands were made available in Haryana a few months ago. Terai, as we are talking, has been launched a week back. So it should be available in Gurgaon and Faridabad. Is available in Gurgaon and Faridabad main outlets already. In UP also, in the main towns, most of our brands you'll be able to see across prominent shops. So yes, when we are entering a state, these brands are available and visible if anybody does tend to take a walk to the.
Terai is available in Bombay as well, and if you're interested
in Bombay and in Jaipur and Udaipur, yeah, Jaipur.
If you're interested in making a purchase, just have a look at our Terai Instagram page, which has details of availability.
Sure, that's quite helpful. I will definitely want to have a look. Thank you so much, and all the best for your future.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Udit Gupta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Sir, my question is regarding, sir, what are the inputs that we are using for making our ENA, sir?
Grain.
Sir, I mean, is it rice, wheat?
Rice.
Rice. And sir, is this from the FCI or is it, sir, the market rice that we buy?
Both. FCI is only for use for making ethanol. And from the market, we purchase material for our other applications.
And sir, the FCI price of rice is broadly fixed at 20 rupees per kg, or is it variable?
It's fixed for the whole year.
It's like more or less like the ethanol price, like it changes every year.
Yes, ethanol price is linked to the price of FCI rice.
Okay. And sir, like the power cost that we were talking about, sir, all this while, but can it be reduced by going into green sources like solar or wind or something of the sort?
No, we cannot do that. We require power to convert this said rice to alcohol or ethanol. We have, as mentioned in my opening remarks, several initiatives that have played out to reduce power consumption, fuel consumption in West Bengal. There's potential of further increasing this all the way up to 20% saving. And we are taking these learnings to our other plants as well. So these are some of the things that we do to mitigate cost increases. Going to solar or wind is not an option.
I get your point, sir. And sir, one more question is that, sir, what is the processing cost per liter for alcohol, and is it any different for ethanol, or like are they the same?
The number for processing cost we do not make available publicly. The cost difference between the two is about 10%. Ethanol is 10% cheaper to produce. Not 10%. I'm so sorry. It's more like 5% cheaper to produce as compared to extra neutral alcohol.
And so the DDGS that comes out of the process is more or less similar for both?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of S.B. Baya, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, good evening, sir. I've got only one question. When do you expect this income tax matter to be sorted out? Is it this quarter or is it going to extend to the next financial year?
I don't know the answer to that question. We are still awaiting a notice of some nature from the department, so I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay. And any financial implication due to that also you don't have any idea?
We have not received any notice. As soon as we do, we will inform our shareholders. As of now, there is no financial impact.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shekhar Swarup for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Right. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. We remain available to answer further questions. Please reach us directly on our IR email address or to Stellar, our IR agency. Thank you again, and have a good evening.
Thank you. On behalf of Globus Spirits Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.